That's awesome.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 489, Long Lost Opening. We just came off the biggest birthday celebration for William Shakespeare we've ever been a part of. Not only was it the 452nd birthday of the Bard of Stratford-upon-Avon, it was also, of course, the 400th deathiversary, the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's death, or to put it another way, the 400th anniversary of the beginning of Shakespeare's legacy. And it was also the world premiere of our 10th stage show, William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged. In a few minutes, you'll get to hear a few excerpts from the show, because, as is my wont when we open a new production, I kept the microphone running most of the weekend to record our various goings-on. But first, Reed Martin, Teddy Spencer, and I gathered around the microphone twice to talk about how the performances were going. How did the first two previews of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at the Folger go? They went so well. We're just watching basketball after the second preview because, like, we got this thing in the bag. Am I right, Reed Martin?
It is over!
Warriors!
Warriors!
So we just finished the second preview performance, and it went, I thought, better than the first. It seems like each night we get slightly more comfortable. I know I started this sort of night going, oh, I kind of have this. I kind of feel like I have this at least through the first half of the first act. And then I get a little, where are we?
I've got the whole thing down. Nothing's going to change.
Oh, you've locked it. You're Clarence Birdseye because it's frozen.
That's right.
Teddy, you're the wizened veteran of this because you did the first two, the workshop productions of this. It's funny, Reed and I wrote this, but you know it better.
Yeah.
How we doing?
You know, you guys have really come a long way, which is good. Yeah, I'm proud of you both.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
No, it's just we had the first. I mean, we had on the first preview, official preview, we had a standing ovation from a sold-out crowd. Tonight we had a partial standing ovation. I'm going to blame the heat and the humidity in the theater. I'm not going to blame us.
Could not possibly be us.
Nope, not at all.
No, it gets better each show. Before the show, Elaine was saying, this is going to feel a lot better in a week.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
I said, yeah, things are settling in.
Elaine's our stage manager.
Yeah, so it's like translating, I don't know what the hell I'm doing to you. No, but I know, you know, I know moments. No, but it gets better each show. It's I don't, now every exit I don't come running off going, crap, what's my next costume?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I don't see nearly as much terror in either one of your eyes, which is good. Yeah.
Very good. I feel good when I'm on stage. I'm not worried about the changes. It feels like I get off stage and I know what's coming next because I hear you guys talking on stage and I go, context, right. I know what I'm doing, even if they're not holding the costume up. But on stage, like tonight, for instance, I flipped some couplets twice. And I'm lost. Oh, Dromio's gone again, and that is not good. Oh, shit, it's supposed to be I'm lost in this wood, and that is not good. Oh, no, I've really screwed it up.
I can always see you do a very subtle thing that probably nobody else notices, but I've worked with you for so long, when your eyes slightly widen.
Yeah.
The audience wouldn't see it, but I just suddenly see, and I see you, random access memory. Where is my memory? Yeah.
Was I doing that in my final monologue? I don't think
no,
so.
No, your final monologue of a character who you won't name, I thought looked a lot more relaxed tonight.
Yeah. That, good. That felt good.
Very solid. Yeah, good. Facial hair was staying on and everything. Yeah.
Yes, that's the biggest challenge. Yeah. I have some facial hair that I've been sweating off in the middle of the speech, and that is not good.
We can say the character is Grizzly Adams.
Yes, it's true. Grizzly Adams comes in as a kind of a deus ex machina. So we have two previews here for the Folger audience, and these Folger audiences, they're roughly sold out, close to sold out, and they only holds about, what is it, 250, 270 seats?
250 probably.
Okay, so that's twice. A sold-out crowd is twice as big as the largest audience you had at Shakespeare Napa Valley, which was maybe 120.
But they averaged at Shakespeare Napa Valley really 50.
Yeah.
Right? Or right. Notre Dame, too.
Notre Dame as well, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is five times, these first two audiences are five times bigger
than either the performance, either of the audiences you had in Notre Dame or at Shakespeare Napa Valley, Teddy? What was the difference, or do you know a difference?
Well, I mean, last night, our first preview performance with that full house, just the energy from the audience when we came out on stage was pretty remarkable. I don't normally, I mean, sure, I get excited to do a show, but the adrenaline rush I got from that audience was something I have not experienced in that I can remember. I mean, it was like, there was one point where I rocked back on my heels. I was like, whoa, I got to stay on my feet, because, like, that was a rush for sure. Yeah.
It really was awesome. Well, that was something I was kind of doing behind you. I was sort of giving them the, come on, you know.
Well, they're so smart and knowledgeable about Shakespeare, obviously, at the Folger Shakespeare Library. So it's a fantastic audience for that. They sort of get every reference. Whether they laugh out loud at every reference is a whole thing, and we're learning where the laughs are, and that will affect the kinds of cuts and changes that we make.
I definitely felt that tonight, several places where we have a series of laughs, yeah, and where the hold should be, you know, and yeah, you find that out over time, but yeah, already by the second night, yeah, we're figuring some things out.
No, it's very exciting. It's very, very exciting. And I know that when I come out from my bow at the end as that character that we're not naming,
Grizzly Adams,
I get such a rush from the audience. I don't know if you're getting it for your bows when you start the thing, you must be, but it's just, I've not experienced that in an RSC show, I have to say.
Well, that's new. RSC people love Grizzly Adams.
What could we say? So we have one more preview Saturday afternoon. Now, tomorrow, as we're recording this, it's Friday night, April 22nd. Tomorrow is Saturday, April 23rd, the 400th anniversary of the death of William Shakespeare, at least as we've decided to all agree that it's the death of day. Yeah, so there's a big, not only is there two, we have a preview, we have our first night audience with the critics, and then Reed and I are doing something called The Wonder of Will in the reading room. I suppose we'll be able to talk about that later. In the reading room of the Folger Shakespeare Library, where it's Reed and I and Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer, the chairman of the chairpersons of the NEH.
National Endowment for the Arts and the National Endowment for the Humanities.
Cal Penn, Kumar from Harold and Kumar,
Clarence Page, the guy who's on the news networks and stuff.
Yeah, the news networks. A lot of people and us celebrating. Or
one of these things is not like the other.
So we'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll talk to you more after we have our first performance for critics. Dun dun dun. It is now Sunday night. We have just finished our final performance of the week. It's our second and final night with the critics. And the week, the big, big, big week is over. How did it go? How do we think? The weekend of previews?
I thought it went well. I thought we grew every night.
Yes.
Learned how to play it well.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I felt more relaxed tonight. The audience felt more relaxed tonight, yeah, Sunday night. It was a beautiful day in Washington, D.C.
Right. And, go ahead.
And it's so hot. People go out and they're out and about, and I think they enjoy it. They just, on a day like that, just audiences tend to be quieter.
Yeah, you know, I think it's ourselves and the audience, we're all carb crashing from having too much of Shakespeare's birthday cake today.
Well, it's true. Yeah. Yesterday was Saturday the 23rd. It was Shakespeare's actual birthday, and Reed and I did a thing, The Wonder of Will, that I think will be online someplace with a lot of other distinguished people, and then there was me and Reed up there doing what we do, and that was in the Folger reading room, and then today was the Folger Library has a huge birthday party for 4 hours where the three of us did two sort of almost close to half-hour performances in the afternoon on the stage. So not only did we have previews and 10, 18 hours of tech earlier this week, in addition to dress rehearsals and whatnot, we had the previews, then we had all the birthday celebration, and I know that I peaked last night. On Saturday night, I felt the most relaxed, the most comfortable, the most loose, and tonight I was just in my head. I went, wait, have I done this? Well, yes, some of these scenes I have done three times today.
Yeah.
But it was okay, and as you say, the audience, I peaked Saturday night, and quite possibly the audience peaked last night as well, in terms of their response.
I thought we previewed Thursday, Friday, Saturday afternoon,
right,
and I thought all three of those audiences, although we were probably not as strong as we were for opening and the second official show. I thought we got stronger. I think audiences sort of got less enthusiastic over the week. Maybe that's because the biggest fans wanted tickets
right.
on the very first or second or third show because the house sizes were similar.
Yeah, and it's these are, again, we said this before on podcasts, these are nuances because our friends last night said, oh my God, I've never heard such a loud audience. I said, well, the last night's was louder.
And the night before
was louder, but it's only, as you said, demonstrative. It's the volume that the audience is making in their response. It does definitely felt like when they're laughing robustly and not regrettably. Well, and, they're coming right in.
And many people at the Folger Shakespeare birthday celebration today, Sunday afternoon, just sought us out and said how much they enjoyed it last night. We were talking about this. One always worries when the critics are in because we're going to do this show hundreds, maybe thousands of times, and critics come on two nights at the Folger.
Right.
And whatever they write is going to stay with you for a very, very long time. But it almost has nothing to do with how loudly. We've done many shows where on opening night we hit everything, the audience was raucous, and we got bad reviews. We've gotten raves where we thought we had done a pretty bad show or the audiences were quiet. So there's no logic to it that way.
No, there is no logic. Teddy, you've had two opening nights with the long-lost, William Shakespeare's long-lost first play at Bridge.
Correct.
How does this compare with the one at Notre Dame and the one at Shakespeare Napa Valley last summer?
This has been a blast. The houses have just been so big. And it's such a great space to perform in here at the Folger where you can really connect with the audience. But it feels like the audience is just kind of packed up on top of itself.
Right.
So really feels like you're in the middle of like a powder keg of excitement and energy. Which
And they get every single Shakespearean reference.
Every single one.
I doubt that there's going to be any place where we perform where they get so many of the references.
True. And in the first couple of performances, I feel like I hear every now and then I'll hear a groan at a pun in the first act, and that person seems like it seems like that person has been taken out and beaten because everybody else is having such a good time. The pun groaners just go, oh, all right. Apparently, I just have to let it go. To quote the show.
We should, if it's okay, we should plug a couple of people who performed at the Shakespeare birthday celebration today at the Folger. We saw what do they call themselves? The Nickel Shakespeare Girls.
Yeah.
Three women, and you name any of the Shakespeare plays, and they do a 30-second version of it.
That's amazing.
Really physical, kind of acrobatic. They're bouncing on top of each other.
They've been at it since 1999. They started at Ren Faire, so we have that connection. And the other group, Friends of Teddy's, right?
Yeah, the Titan Theater Company. They're based out of Queens, New York, classical company based out of there, and they were hosting Shakespearean insult battles this afternoon. So that was a lot of fun, especially with the little kids, calling each other momsy butts and pockmarked boar pigs and that, such. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, and then yesterday on this panel that we were part of, celebrating the stories of Shakespeare, we were on the panel, but the channel of the chairpersons of both the National Endowment of the Humanities, the National Endowment of the Arts, director of the Folger, Michael Whitmore, Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, Stephen Breyer, and
well-known journalist Clarence Page.
Well-known journalist Clarence Page. Some great high school student who just told a fantastic story.
An immigrant from the Dominican Republic came here speaking no English, started to read Shakespeare, and just learned English from Shakespeare and said, oh, this is all about humanity. Yeah. She was the least well-known and the most moving speaker.
Oh, truly the most moving. Yeah, yeah. And she's a senior now. She came to this country in like 8th or 9th grade.
Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty amazing.
And then on C-SPAN 2 Book TV, so you might find it online there.
Yeah. And we were also joined by the Bay Area playwright Octavio Solis, so that was great. It's just been a very, very fun weekend. It's sort of a thrill and an honor to be here at the Folger, not only at the Folger, just full stop, but here on the birthday weekend. We've been very lucky
the 400th birthday,
the 400th, the 452nd birthday, the 400th death day,
death anniversary,
the death anniversary.
So what are we all going to do tomorrow? It's been a big week. We're going to go out and do a lot of stuff on our day off.
Nope.
No.
Lay on the couch.
Sleep.
Recover.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Octavio Solis, longtime Bay Area playwright, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? We'll be performing the world premiere of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at the Folger Theater at the Folger Shakespeare Library here in D.C. until May 8th. Then we hit the road again, taking the complete history of comedy Abridged to Saratoga, Rancho Cucamonga, and Poway, California, Gillette, Wyoming, Reston, Virginia, and Somerville, New Jersey. And then finally, I can tell you, we will take William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged not only to Boone, North Carolina in July, but we'll also bring it to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this August. We'll be back at the Pleasance Courtyard, and we're hugely excited. Tickets are on sale now. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. So as I mentioned, we performed two excerpts from William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at two little mini performances on the Folger stage as part of their day-long Shakespeare's birthday weekend celebration, which you will get to hear now.
Oh, if a muse of fire be the food of love, let's eat! Give us excess of it, a kingdom for a stage, princes to act, and monarchs to behold the swelling scene. Can we cram within this wooden, oh, what a beautiful recreation, the very cast of witches and wizards and masters and servants and lovers and fairies and lasses and perverts? You bet your ass. Ah, but pardon, gentles all. Let us ascend the brightest heaven of invention and on your imaginary forces work. Two fairies, both alike in sorcery, in fairy land where we doth lay our play, from ancient grudge break to new rivalry, where magic scary gets carried away. From forth their frisky fingers, these fairies fatally, foully confuse friends and foes. The lover is crowned, royalty marries, and how we accomplish it? No one knows. For 'tis your thoughts that now must deck our kings, carry them here and there, jumping o'er times, turning the accomplishment of many years into an hourglass, and every place on the globe within the girdle of these walls confined. Six mighty monarchies, eight pairs of twins, dysfunctional lovers, unpardonable sins, fairies and sprites full of shapes and fancy, men in dresses and women so pansy, and oceans and forests and shipwrecks and tempests and spirits of love and regret and rage are the 100 hours traffic of our stage. Admit me, chorus, to this mystery, who prologue like your humble patience pray, gently to hear and loudly enjoy our play.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That's the first time that speech has been heard by any audience anywhere.
That's right. Now, we have made this incredible discovery.
Yeah, we were on tour in England last year, and we just finished performing at a theater in Leicester.
And yes. We went back to Titus, which is part of the fucking group.
You should explain what Titus is.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. We travel in a large 12-seat passenger van we call Titus Vandronicus.
I know, it's awesome, right?
Right. So anyway, we went back to Titus, which was parked in a parking lot in Leicester.
And we saw this hole in the parking lot.
And down in the hole was a pile of bones.
They looked utterly unimportant.
Yeah. But next to the pile of bones was a bundle of papers.
And the bundle of papers turned out to be... Hang on, I'll get it.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that bundle of papers turned out to be the most important literary discovery of the last 400 years.
No, not 50 Shades of Grey.
Mm-mm.
We discovered...
William Shakespeare's long-lost first play. Now, we have had this checked and verified. There are six surviving examples of Shakespeare's handwriting. This is clearly written in all six of Shakespeare's hands.
This is his actual handwriting.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And we brought it here to the Folger Shakespeare Library, which holds the largest collection of Shakespeare crap in the world. Mm-hmm. And as they were showing us the exit, they assured us that this is unlike anything they have.
Yeah. Yeah, they are so nice here. But it is not a folio.
No, it's like a fake folio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a folio.
Nice.
And it's massive. It's like a double quarto.
Yeah, scholars call a double quarto an ocho.
Or a quarto pounder.
That's right. And what you just heard is the opening prologue to this epic work, which I think makes it the first speech that Shakespeare ever wrote. Which it's kind of a combination of the opening speeches of Romeo and Juliet, Twelfth Night, and Henry V, but so much less good.
This is the first draft of literary history.
Yeah, and you can tell he didn't even know what to call it. Because here on the cover are these titles that he was considering. The Tragedy of Errors.
101 Venetians.
Mm-hmm. Richard IV, The Revengeaning.
A Long Day's Journey into a Midsummer Night's Dream.
Romeo and Ethel, The Pirate's Daughter.
Yeah. Good title. The Real Merry Housewives of Windsor.
Mm-hmm. Fast Times at Stratford High. Mm-hmm.
Much Ado About Something Quite Important, Really. And Cats.
Well, whatever he intended to call it, ladies and gentlemen, here at the Folger, we perform the world premiere of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play.
That is right.
That's right. Just as soon as the rest of the actors get here,
no,
we will take...
No, dude, stop. No, stop. It's just... There's no more of their actors.
Just us.
Just us.
Are you shooting me?
No.
What about Dom and Croak and Rippy? Aren't they coming?
They're not coming. It's just the three of us.
We can't do this by ourselves.
Sure we can. Of course we can.
No, we can't. Look at this cast list. There's 1,639 characters in here.
Now, the three of us could do that.
Easily. And besides, that makes some cuts.
Wait, what?
Yeah, we got to be out of here in 2 hours.
No. We've got to perform this whole masterpiece. We have a literary responsibility.
No, we have a theatrical opportunity. And uncut, this thing's over 100 hours long.
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't matter. We're still going to need more people.
What's he that wishes so? The fewer men, the greater share of honor. God's will, I pray thee, wish not one man more.
See what you did.
And he which hath no stomach to this fight, let him depart. His passport shall be made, and crowns for convoy put into his purse. We would not act in that man's company.
I'm sorry.
Will you just do it?
And you, Reed Martin, eat no onions nor garlic, for we are to utter sweet breath, and I do not doubt but to hear them say this is a sweet comedy. And thespians in England now abed shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and they were hold their manhoods cheap.
I'm not holding my manhood cheap.
I'm not holding your manhood at all.
All right. And rue the day they did not with us perform William Shakespeare's long-lost first play.
The second excerpt is the first appearance of Richard, Duke of Gloucester, who, as we all know, became Richard III. But in this long-lost first play of Shakespeare's, Richard was actually a nice guy.
Now is the winter of our discontent made glorious summer by this son of York. And I, that am not shaped for sportive tricks, nor made to court an amorous looking glass, I that am rudely stamped and want love's majesty distraught before a wanton ambling nymph, and am so lame and unfashionable, the dogs bark at me as I halt by them. See?
Look at him cooing alone as a dove, with a hump only a mother could love. Oh, he's so soft, like a pair of wool mittens. He loves babies and puppies and kittens. True, he's misshapen, which helpeth him not. Women can't see all the fine wit he's got. For him I will bring to this arena one witty woman, Beatrice of Messina.
Oh.
Yes, kiss this!
Nice. By this day, she's a fair lady. But I do spy some marks of love in her. Your beauty it will haunt me in my sleep. Might I live 1 hour in your sweet bosom?
I will not desire that.
Oh, that hurts. If you prick me, do I not bleed?
You talk of pricks?
Yes, but...
You wicked man.
Is there any way to show you friendship?
Be gone, diffused infection of a man.
Come, come, you wasp. I'faith, you are too angry.
If I be waspish, best beware my sting.
Well, my remedy then is to pluck it out.
Aye, if the fool could find it where it lies.
Who knows not where a wasp does wear his sting? In his tail?
In his tongue.
Whose tongue?
Yours, if you talk of tails, and so farewell.
What, with my tongue and your tail? By my sword, Beatrice, thou lovest me.
I really don't.
Beatrice, well, this is all my own doing. I'm unpracticed in the art of wooing. The words that I'm saying seem to be wrong. Perhaps I can sway you by singing a song. Therefore, since I cannot prove a lover, I am determined to prove a vaudevillian. Sigh no more, lady, sigh no more. Men were deceivers ever. 1 foot in sea and 1 on shore, to 1 thing constant never. So sigh not so and let them go, and be you blithe and bonny, converting all your songs of woe into... Hey, I was upset when Beatrice said she didn't love me, but I slept like a baby. I cried and wet the bed. Oh, sigh not so and let them go, and be you blithe and bonny, converting all your songs of woe until... Hey, my shrink said I was crazy. I said I wanted a second opinion. He said, okay, you're a hunchback too. converting all your songs of woe into, hey, they all laughed when I said I wanted to be a comedian. Well, they're not laughing now. Converting all your songs of woe into, hey, nani, nani. Was ever woman in this humor wooed? Was ever woman in this humor won?
That song proved to me that you're not such a chump.
Does that mean you love me and want a hump? Oh, still got it.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your Shakespearean mashup via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, traitorous stuck-up Malmsey Butt Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Jane Dutton. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Octavio Solis. Google his speech at the Folger that was featured on C-SPAN 2's Wonder of Will broadcast. It's amazing. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 489/1467 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
You know, we were wondering whether to clean up some of the language for all the kids today, and we said screw it. It's Shakespearean. If anything, we have cleaned Shakespeare up.
That's right.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.